For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Are you looking to wager on all the big games in sports? Well, man, do I have the best deal for you. How about going with my friends at BetOnline? This is one of the busiest times of year. College football, NFL, hockey is starting, NBA upcoming, baseball playoffs soon as well. Plus, hey, the Ryder Cup, so you can lay some money down on Team USA as well. 50% off your welcome bonus today with BetOnline. Head on over to betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag. It's a 50% bonus up to $1,000 with our promo code BELIEVE. That's B-L-E-A-V, B-L-E-A-V. BetOnline, betonline.ag is the website. BetOnline, where the game starts. Fall is simply football season, and fans across the country are hoping that preseason hype leads to postseason success. In the NFL, we'll see if early Super Bowl favorites like the Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers, and Bills can hold off up-and-comers. And college football fans are wondering if Georgia will make it a three-peat or if top-ranked challengers like Michigan or Florida State can take home the national championship trophy. The college football and NFL seasons are defined by big plays, injuries, and coaching decisions. As a football fan, I also want to hear about the behind-the-scenes and off-field stories that shape the season. The football interviews and topics you hear on the ML Sports Platter are shaped by lessons learned at St. Bonaventure University. The online Master of Arts in Sports Journalism at St. Bonnie equips reporters and hosts for digital storytelling across the sports world. Students learn how to tell compelling stories through digital and traditional platforms. They are also encouraged to envision the future of sports journalism with their capstone projects. This 100% online degree builds on decades of academic excellence, and I'm a proud Bonnie, and I can tell you that you can join me in a growing list of notable graduates, including the New York Post's Mike Vaccaro and ESPN's Raina Banks. In fact, you'll hear from an accomplished alum or industry expert during video masterclasses in each course. Contact an enrollment advisor at sbujournalism.com. That's sbujournalism.com today to learn more about the online Master of Sports Journalism. That's sbujournalism.com.
Hey, this is Joe Theismann, and you're listening to the ML Sports Platter.
ML Sports Platter, all over the major platforms. Download, subscribe, rate, and review. We are brought to you by Ken's Auto Detailing, Barks and Rec Doggy Daycare, and our awesome friend Brian Conboy at Mass Mutual New York State. Make sure you go with Brian today for tax-efficient retirement planning at advisors.massmutual.com. And a tip of the cap thank you to our friends of the program, the Swan and Whitaker families, as well as Trey Waluski of Under Armour Golf. Folks, make sure you buy Under Armour Golf and other apparel direct from Trey and get your gear for wholesale. That's right, no middleman markup these days with Trey Waluski. Just email him, treypgasales@gmail.com. That's Trey, T-R-E-Y, PGASales@gmail.com. A proud ML Sports Platter sponsor is Trey Waluski of Under Armour Golf. Week 6 in the books, NFL. Let's recap it. And as we always do, we go all the way back to last Thursday. And, I got to tell you, this overall was actually not a great week in the NFL. I respect defense, don't get me wrong, but the games were just sloppy. There were some backups and backup quarterbacks and offensive line play. The games were low scoring. It was just a lot of slop out there, in my opinion. But, you know, you're going to have these weeks, and that's that. So we go all the way back to Thursday Night Football. Really a dud of a game. I watched just a little bit of it, and it was just so bad. I mean, Denver just cannot move the football whatsoever. They got shut out until the fourth quarter, and then Mahomes throws a TD pass. Kelce had the big game. Taylor Swift was there, blah, blah, blah. It's the same old shit with the Chiefs. They win 19-8, and they're really kind of just, you know, asleep at the wheel so far this season. They're 5-1. They haven't looked great at all, and when they have to look great, I'm sure that they will. And if you have Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce, you know, you can click a switch and be off and running, and that's exactly what happened in this game. They didn't have to be great until they did, and they were in the fourth, in the second quarter, put some points on the board, and they only got field goals in the other three quarters. But the Chiefs, they are an average team right now at 5-1, and I'm sure that they're going to be elite. in the next 6 to 8 weeks, right? Because that's what they do. Ravens beat the Titans in London, 24-16. Lamar being Lamar, man. He's running it. He's throwing it. Thought that they did a pretty good job on, you know, the entire offensive front. You know, that throw to Zay Flowers was great. I think that the ship has officially sailed, if you were wondering. I thought it really sailed before. Ryan Tannehill now, of course, getting taken off in the cart and all the rest. The window was closing for the Titans. They're just not a very good football team. They don't have a lot of playmakers. They have Derrick Henry. I think they should trade him, try to trade DeAndre Hopkins. I know they just got him. They have to go get a quarterback. It's a major problem. Their offensive line is awful. And you know what? Eventually, the Mike Vrabel model and the defensive model doesn't work when your defense is out there all the time. Ravens win in the trenches. They have an elite quarterback. The Titans don't. That's basically what it comes down to. They have the playmakers, and no one right now wants to play the Baltimore Ravens. Commanders, 24-16 winners over the Atlanta Falcons. Same old, Desmond Ridder gets the ball, has a chance, throws a pick, has a chance, throws a pick, throws another pick. I mean, this guy cannot get out of his own way right now. And I got to tell you, Washington, their defense is ferocious, man. They really are. I mean, that front we've talked about in terms of Allen and Sweat and Company and Chase Young, they can really get after the quarterback and limit you. And then when you take an average to below average quarterback like a Desmond Ridder, it just doesn't work, man. It really does. It doesn't. And, you know, in a losing cause, it's too bad because they got a lot out of Drake London for Atlanta. But Desmond Ridder is just a horrible, horrible quarterback right now. And that was the difference. And you know what? I got to applaud the Commanders. They've played really hard in their losses and they've won 3 games. They are at 500 with a legitimate chance to make a wild card spot. Vikings 19-13 over the Bears. Again, another awful, awful game. But Cousins and Hicks did enough in this game. The defense was better than advertised. That's the best Viking secondary that I've seen in weeks. They limited DJ Moore to 51 yards after his bonkers game the week before. Arcade-like, terrific stuff from the Vikings defensively, showing that they can win in different ways. 2-4 now, got to win a couple more here and get back to 500, and then we can start to talk about the playoffs. Awfully hard to win those games on the road, in division, and without Justin Jefferson. Bengals, 17-13, looked horrible in this game. Couldn't move the ball against the Seattle Seahawks. Just happened to make enough plays. Thank you, Trey Hendrickson. Thank you, defense, for coming if you're a Bengals fan, because this was the defense that, hey, when the offense fails a little bit, this is the defense that, you know, can kind of take over games. And they did that in this football game. They also limited, you know, Walker and Lockett and the playmakers of the Seattle Seahawks from getting going. You know, it was definitely a tremendous, tremendous performance. They had 4 sacks in the game. And obviously, Logan Wilson was all over the place. Sam Hubbard was all over the place. Trey Hendrickson was all over the place. Cam Sample was all over the place. Each one of those guys had a sack in this game. And they suffocated the Seattle Seahawks defense. But boy, if I'm a Bengal fan, when's it all going to come together, right? The offense was brutal. The defense bailed them out. Then the offense came on last week. Now the defense had to bail. I mean, when's it going to all come together? Browns with P.J. Walker really beat the 49ers? I mean, yeah, Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel both got hurt here, but gee whiz, the Browns? Man, thought that the 49ers maybe still had some players to still, you know, kind of win this thing. I mean, the Browns are always going to Browns, aren't they? I mean, gee whiz, but not in this one. You know, would have helped the defense for Cleveland or for San Fran if they had had Greenlaw for sure in this game. But my God, is Cleveland's defense ferocious? Are they good or what? I mean, Myles Garrett leading the way, but it's not just Myles Garrett. They are built from front to middle to back. And, you know, look, I'm a Bills guy. I wanted them to get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame a few years back in the draft, a couple years back. He's a legit player, man. He's a linebacker who snuffs it out, both run and the pass. He is a phenomenal player. He had a sack in this game. He was carving him up. He was clogging lanes. Wonderful game by the Cleveland Brown defense. They get it done against the Niners, 19-17 in a victory. Dolphins, 42-21. Don't know how you defend him right now. I really don't. Tua, Mostert, Hill, Waddle. I don't know how you do it. The pre-snap, the motion, the craziness. There's so much to deal with there. And you know what? Carolina just doesn't have any playmakers, man. And they're trying to just get through the season and grow. They still have to yet win a football game. Frank Reich has passed off the OC duties. It's a disaster there. And they need to go and have a home run draft in order to save this current regime. There's no doubt about it. 42-21, the Dolphins win. Jaguars 37-20 winners over the Colts. Anthony Richardson goes down. He's probably gone for the year. Gardner Minshew serviceable dude. And again, Anthony Richardson going down recently is a huge problem, because of the future of the team. And I'm not saying that he went down in this game. I'm just saying him going down recently created the Colts to have to play Minshew. And you know what? I thought it was easy in the beginning of the season, and I even said, hey, just play him. You got to draft him and play him and all this. But you know what? I was wrong, because once in a while, there are situations where you have to take the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs model, and this probably was one of them, and play Gardner Minshew, because he's a serviceable backup quarterback. He loves the game of football. He can teach Anthony Richardson how to avoid chaos, how to grow in this league. I've been around the block a while. I've seen it all. You know, and Minshew's played fairly well. Now, in this game, three interceptions hurt you and you couldn't run the football. They gave the ball 17 times to their running backs, maybe went away from the run a little too much as well, which caused Gardner Minshew to throw the football. This was a very difficult game for Indianapolis to go in. Road game, division rival, backup quarterback, too many playmakers on the other side type of a thing. We'll see. Trevor Lawrence a little banged up as well. We'll see if he plays this week. Right now, it looks like he will. But the Colts are a mess. Anthony Richardson's out for the year. Pittman Jr. had a 100-yard game in this one. I don't know how. They're going to try to ride Gardner Minshew here. What's funny, though, is the Colts, through all of this crap that I just mentioned, they're still 500. They're still a 500 football team. So, again, jury's still out there, but probably was a smart thing to not have Anthony Richardson start the season. Texans beat the Saints 20-13, and again, it's more of the Texan fight, physicality, and teamwork, and playing for their head coach, DeMeco Ryans. I mean, wow. Stroud throws two touchdown passes. The defense makes the late stops. Great job by Houston. Rams 26-9 over the Cardinals. Welcome back, Cooper Kupp. Kyren Williams with a great game. As well, it was those two guys really carrying the load against the team in Arizona. I've said it for a few weeks now. They just flat out look tired. How about the Jets, 20-14 winners over the Eagles, one of the surprises of the week. Whoa. Breece Hall, touchdown, big time run there. The Jets really got a hold of Jalen Hurts, really got a hold of the Eagles, banged up front, offensive line-wise. And I tell you what, man. This Jets defense is so ferocious. It is, I mean, they're scary. They're scary. They're scary. Cleveland's scary. My God, Quincy Williams all over the place. They had a couple of sacks. They had four tackles for loss. They had 12 pressures. Quinnen Williams coming at you from every angle, taking double and triple teams. CJ Mosley everywhere on the football field. So the Eagles, no need to panic. They went into hostile territory. They lost the game. They were banged up a little bit, on the offensive line front. These losses are going to happen. And by the way, Lane Johnson being banged up, that's a big deal. I mean, that's basically changing your entire offensive line there. The Eagles really struggled in this game. Jalen Hurts was brutal. Somehow A.J. Brown still got 131 yards for my fantasy team, but I still lost. Could have used a touchdown or two, pal, in this one. And, the Eagles defense, they sacked Zach Wilson five times. But it just so happened that the key plays were made at the key spots, and that's how the NFL works, and the Jets got it done. And by the way, it's funny, isn't it, how Jalen Hurts struggles against the Jets and Patrick Mahomes struggles against the Jets, and it's like, oh, yeah, but the Jets have an elite defense, blah, blah, blah. Josh Allen struggles against the Jets, and like the world's ending, and Josh Allen stinks, and he forgot how to play football. Isn't that funny how that works? Lions 20-6 winners over the Buccaneers. I'm so happy for Detroit. Decades of disaster, decades of heartbreak, decades of sucking, and they are 5-1, and they can beat you in a bunch of different ways. And that is where I've come to this season with Detroit. At 5-1, they can win on the road, 3-0. They can win at home. They can beat you with physicality. They can beat you in the trenches. They can beat you with finesse and throwing the football. Last week, no Amon-Ra St. Brown. This week, they get a couple of huge plays with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had an 124-yard game with a touchdown and 12 receptions. Jared Goff was outstanding. They can beat you 26. They can beat you 37-30. They can beat you with defense and Aiden Hutchinson. They can beat you with their rookies. They are right now a really, really good football team. And I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them because they've had decades of just disasters. And hey, how do you not cheer for Dan Campbell? Wow. Bills 14-9 over the Giants. I mean, wow, Tyrod Taylor played as a quarterback for the Giants like he did during all those years for the Bills during the drought years until he helped break it with likes of Kyle Williams and McDermott and company. This Bills team was atrocious offensively, and I don't know what is going on with Ken Dorsey, but he has got to figure out a plan. He's got to get this team in rhythm. Late in the game, the Bills had a 3rd-and-9. You know how they got there? They got there with 12 personnel with the exact same look, running the football, an extra offensive lineman. The Bills get into too many 3rd-and-longs. However, in this spot, Josh Allen rolls out. It was actually a great design by Ken Dorsey. Allen throws it at the feet of Dawson Knox. It was not a good throw. It was probably a C-minus throw. But Knox, $14 million tight end, he has his hands underneath the football. You still have to reel that one in. He did not. And then, you know, it was opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The Bills had the game won. Wait, nope, PI. Then they put him at the one-yard line. Tyrod Taylor throws it. It's easily pass interference again on Taron Johnson. They don't call it. I think he was pulling on Waller there. And the Bills escape 14-9. Stephon Diggs, another great one, 100-yard game. Saquon Barkley was back, had a 93-yard game on 24 carries, and was just enough of a look for the Bills to kind of get confused, and the Giants were bleeding the clock and all the rest. I will say, even though they didn't call the final PI on the Bills, you know what? Karma sometimes things even out. The Giants had two trips on the Bills' receivers in the first half. Neither one of them were called PI. Last I checked, any kind of, you know, foot sort of interference and all the rest where you create a receiver to trip, that is PI. They didn't call either one of them, so whatever. It all comes down. It all comes out in the wash. Brian Daboll starting to lose control as head coach. I thought he was the greatest thing since Paul Bear Bryant. I thought he was the greatest thing since Curly Lambeau. I thought he invented football. Pop Warner. I mean, they're 1-5 right now. They're in disarray. He's dysfunctional. Players, you can see, are frustrated with each other. Daniel Jones, they should not have paid. Why didn't he have more control in that decision? They should not have even given, I don't think, the franchise tag to Barkley, even though he's more of a franchise player than Daniel Jones. Dable screaming at his coaches, screaming at his players. He's throwing laptops and tablets all around. I don't know, man. Seems to me the guy, we got to kind of hold the phones here on being the next greatest offensive coach of all time, right? Bills escape. That's what's most important here if you're a Buffalo fan. They're also 3-1 at home, 4-2 overall. And now we see what they do against the horrendous New England Patriots, a team that is so bad, I mean so bad, that they lost to a Jimmy G injured Raider team. I completely skipped over this game, by the way, so I'm going back to it. Garoppolo injured. The Raiders have no identity. And Mac Jones, I mean, what do you do if you're New England right now other than sitting down and telling Bill Belichick to get out of the way as football operations guy? I mean, you cannot be the architect of this team anymore, BB. You can't. You know, you just can't. You got to have him be the head coach, or you got to sit him down and just say, we're getting rid of you all together. Those are, to me, the only two options. But you can't have him continue to build a roster that looks like a 1940s football team. It's horrible. Horrible. Horrible, horrible. All right, I'm going to recap the Monday night football game between the Cowboys and Chargers, a game in which Dallas won 20-17. Remember, the Packers and Steelers were your two bye teams this week. I'm going to do that next here on the ML Sports Platter, brought to you by Stanley Law Offices. Together, they'll work to get you the maximum reward. For more, visit stanleylawoffices.com. That's stanleylawoffices.com. And a quick tip of the cap, thank you as well to the Vince Aguirre Consulting Group, Ken's Auto Detailing, Bonnet Sales and Service, and CH Insurance. Monday Night Football recap, Cowboys and Chargers. That's coming up here on the Platter. ML Sports Platter back with you. Thanks to friends of the program, the Swan and Whitaker families, Bob Lindsley, Daryl Abert, and the Alonzo family. One more game to recap here. The Cowboys win 20-17 over the Chargers. It's awfully hard for Micah Parsons to be, you know, to be asked to just be a one-man wrecking crew every single week, you know, when you have all these injuries, right? Trayvon Diggs and Leighton Vander Esch and, oh wait, Micah Parsons still was a one-man wrecking crew. This guy is out of this world. When they needed that play, when they needed that sack, he got it late. And you know what, Justin Herbert, we might have a problem here if you're the Chargers. Now listen, I know Brandon Staley is the main problem, right? You've got offensive weapons galore. You have pretty good defensive players, but you have a defensive head coach who takes chances when he shouldn't, and then when he should take chances, he doesn't. He doesn't own his identity. You know, you have Justin Herbert, you have Keenan Allen, you have Joey Bosa, you have Austin Eckler, you have Khalil Mack, you have Asante Samuel Jr. You have great players on both sides of the ball. Staley is a problem, but can we please start to put some blame on Justin Herbert too? I mean, what has this guy done? I hear a lot of football people, oh, he's a top five quarterback. You love the skill set. I love the skill set. He's 6'6", he's 250. He's got an unbelievable arm. He's got incredible speed out of the pocket. He has IQ, he has instincts. He can throw it 50, 60 yards. I love the skill set. I love the prototype. I love the arm. I love the body. But he's awful in the fourth quarter. I mean, when does he get some blame? And I hear so many people just kind of sneak in. Oh, he's a top five quarterback. No, he's not. The top five quarterbacks in the NFL go in this order. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Jalen Hurts. That's the order. That's it. That's the list. Justin Herbert is not in that list. Now, you want to go top 10? You want to throw him and Tua, you know, and a Brock Purdy in there? Cool. Like, there are others who might get into the top five, but we need to see more. Tua, Purdy, right? Herbert. We need to see more. We need to see the sustainability. We need to see them win in the playoffs. We haven't seen it. Period. So how about some blame on him as well? Dak Prescott made some plays down the stretch. Tony Pollard's a friggin' stud, running it and catching it. And the Cowboys won a big-time road game. But again, Cowboys, sustainability. Can you do it week in, week out? And when it matters, in January. There's your Week 6 recap. ML Sports Platter, all brought to you by our great friends at Bowers & Company CPAs, Brewerton Ace Hardware, Jam & Beats, and Rosie's Corner. Route 11 in front of the Brewerton Bridge. Stop by Rosie's all week long for their delicious comfort food, including meatloaf Monday, chicken and biscuits Wednesday, and fish Friday. As I always tell you, enjoy the games.
SU sports are underway. Hi, this is Joe Convertino Jr. here at CH Insurance. In our new offices downtown, we have over our entryway, work like a champion. We all high-five it to remind us of what we're here to do for you. As an independent agent, we're seeking the right coverage at the right price to ensure the most well-rounded group benefits plan for your business and your team. As you review your group benefits this fall, let's talk. When it comes to group benefits, there is no off-season. CH Insurance, in your corner.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.